All right, so we're live here, Nashville, RCA Studios, Joseph Goodman, not Joe Goodman, Joseph Goodman, lead columnist, AL.com. How's it going, Joseph?
Man, I want to play the guitar.
Do you know how?
Like, I mean, break out in song. This studio is so dope.
I appreciate it.
Y'all, the vibes here are unbelievable. I mean, this is really cool, man. I'm really happy for you. This is awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad you say that because I never know people come in here if they're like, look at this rinky-dink bullshit this guy's got going. You know what? Like, seriously, I try to make it better and better and better. We got tons of people coming in this week. I'm scared to death how they're going to view me just because it is, you know, I'm independent. I don't have anyone backing me, so I'm trying to make it look as professional as I can.
Oh, this is awesome, man. I love it.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So are you having a good time? So when did you get in here for the tournament?
I got in just yesterday, so that would be Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, got my first Nashville parking ticket already. I got that going for me. Just going to expense that, you know.
Yeah, of course. You're going to do anything fun aside from covering the event while you're in town?
Yeah, I mean, this is cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know. Walked here. Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably figure it out. See some live music.
Yeah.
Definitely. Maybe roll through Vanderbilt.
Definitely, you know. The vibes near Vanderbilt are going to be a lot better than anything you get near Broadway. Just a local tip. I mean,
yeah, I'm familiar. Yeah.
Okay. We don't go down to Broadway unless people from out of town, that's what they want to do. It's a damn shit show nightmare.
I feel like that's where you get COVID.
Yeah. Exactly. That was one of the few areas in the country when all that was going on. They said, no, we're not shutting down. Yeah. Places down there got their liquor license revoked and everything. I mean, it was wild.
Yeah, well, you know, Kid Rock's Honky Tonk will not be denied.
Yeah, exactly.
The band will continue to play.
Yeah. Well, hey, speaking about getting denied, let me know if you don't want to talk about this. We don't have to, but you've been very public with it on social media. Again, you're the lead columnist for the biggest paper in the state, Iron Bowl basketball, Alabama-Auburn, and they refuse to let you ask a question. How asinine is that?
It wasn't just me. It was also AL.com's beat reporter who was there, Nick Alvarez, and Ross Dellinger for Sports Illustrated, and Michael Rothstein for The Athletic, and it was their choice not to, you know, I guess, call on reporters who were going to ask possibly questions that they didn't want to ask.
Right.
But yeah, me making it public is just, it's part of, you know, the being accountable.
Right,
you know,
right.
Holding people accountable for, you know, especially power, truth to power, and that sort of thing. So, you know, when things like that happen, you know, you need to make a record of it and, you know, document when these things happen and let people know that, you know, these schools or these universities, you know, for whatever reason, you know, aren't deciding to talk about something. So,
yeah,
you know, you just need to.
And of course, the
do
fans.
Do your job.
I've you know,
it's not a punishment. People think it's a punishment. It's not the deal. Like, as a reporter, you don't really care, okay? Like, whatever. You want to call me, you want to call me not. But if you're not going to do it, you know, then that says a lot more about you than if you just, like, calling me. I was just going to ask a question. Who knows what I was going to ask? I can't even remember.
Right, right. And, you know, you see blowback, not just for that, but a lot of other, you know, where people calling you out, fans, you know, you're an idiot, you hate Alabama, you hate Auburn, on and on and on. Let me ask you this, because I've never been I've written some kind of columnish stuff, but not to your level, you know, I mean, like, no one's ever hired me to do anything like that. Do you feel like you're doing the job as best as you can when people are like angry or not angry? You're not trying to make people angry, but you're also not like kissing Nick Saban's ass or Hugh Freeze's ass. Like, that's not your job. But I think some people assume if they're going to AL.com, like that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Well, the proliferation of fan websites has skewed the perspective of a generation of readers.
Yeah.
Of sports readers. You know. So fan websites, they want to sell subscriptions to fans. Okay.
Right.
So they're not going to ever write anything or come at anything from a provocative way that would cause them to lose subscriptions. Well, that's not my job, okay? I mean, I work for the largest news website in the state, and I'm the lead columnist. So it's my job, you know, to be provocative. And as a columnist, generally, if you write a column and half the people really agree and half the people really don't, then that's where you're supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And what's your thoughts? We don't have to mention any names because, again, I'm not trying to get you in trouble here or anything, but there is a well-known Alabama writer that is now essentially going to work for the school with, I think, the NIL, but that is not...
It's Aaron Suttles for The Athletic.
Right, right.
Yeah, he's a friend of mine.
Right, and I don't know him personally, so again, I'm not calling him out, but this is not necessarily new. It's new to SEC football as I know it, but that's been going on. I know people for NBA, you know, they hire, like, ESPN writers to now cover the team. NFL's been doing it for a long time. I've had friends that, you know, cover beats, and then they get hired by the team to cover the team. I'm just curious, what's your thoughts? Because, again, you know, Aaron Suttles got...
It's not uncommon.
Right, it's not uncommon. But
and
again,
you know, there have actually been sports writers in the SEC who've gone on to be football coaches. Like, if you go back through the history of the league.
Really?
Yeah. You know, so... It happens in baseball. It's always, you know, so guys.
I mean, do you like that? Do you dislike that? Or are you just indifferent to it?
I'm indifferent to it, you know. It's certainly a sign of the times, you know, that a guy as talented as Aaron would leave The Athletic to go to work for UA.
Right. Well,
and,
I think.
And run their NIL. You know, media wing.
Right, right. Well, I don't know. Again, I don't want to sit here and bash The Athletic because I don't know much about them, and I have a lot of their people on there. I think they do great work, but I think it's certainly changed from when it started. You know what I mean? And that, to me, was just yet another sign, like, I don't know. I don't know about the future of that, but that's probably a different story for a different day. But
well, The Athletic came out guns a-blazing, saying they were going to end newspapers, and then they got bought out by the Times.
And so, I don't know. And the coverage is, again, the people that do the coverage, I think, are great, but it's like they fire the Auburn guy, they fire this guy, that guy, and it's like, where's the coverage now? It's not even there. So, I don't know. That bothers me, but it is what it is.
Yeah. I don't know about what's going on at their shop, but
yeah.
I guess maybe they are pulling back some of the tentacles. I'm not sure.
So let's change the subject here. So something a little bit better here, more SEC themed. When you get to cover Iron Bowls and just the hatred in that state, I mean, what is that like? Do you have any fond memories or memories that stand out of covering that? Or is it too spiteful? Because I would imagine even in recent years it's kind of died down. But maybe I'm wrong because I don't live there. You live with it every day and writing about it. What's it like covering, you know, the greatest rivalry, in my opinion, in all of sports?
This is the greatest job. It is the absolute greatest gig. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. No, it doesn't. It never dies down.
Right.
I mean, look at this whole situation with the capital murder charge on Darius Miles and the involvement of Brandon Miller.
Right.
I mean, from the beginning, and this is so toxic, you know, and it just, it's one of those things that definitely turns you off and is like, this is not the way it's supposed to be, guys. But at the same time, it is just a statement on the extreme rivalry. You know, from the very first minute that the news broke, Auburn fans were already hitting me up. You gonna write about this? You gonna write about this? Why haven't you written about this? Like 10 minutes later.
Right, right.
Why haven't you written about this? Yeah, you know, it's like, guys, you're not supposed to be You're not supposed to be celebrating this as some kind of win for Auburn, that this terrible thing has happened to Alabama basketball players.
Right.
You know? So,
and that's the thing. It's not, obviously, it's not just football. It's basketball. Hell, I mean, if there's a scandal with the baseball programs, I would imagine it, maybe not to the same level, but it's, there's still angst and all that going on regardless of the sport.
Oh, yeah. It's all over the place. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah. Do you have one Iron Bowl that stands out to you that is maybe more memorable than any other?
That I've personally covered?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there have been some really good ones in recent years. The 2019 Iron Bowl where it was Mac Jones threw two interceptions.
Mm-hmm. Pick sixes, right?
Sixes, yeah. Right. I mean, that game was just all over the place. Auburn scored so many points in such a short amount of time. It was the whole 1 second thing again. you know, watching when I was covering the NBA, that's when kick six happened.
Yeah.
And watching, being a person from the state of Alabama and watching that is a whole, it was just incredible. I was just like dumbstruck.
Yeah.
At kick six, watching that from, you know, living in Miami, covering the NBA, I was just like, because, you know, the miracle, you know, at Jordan Hare,
mm-hmm.
happened like right before that,
right.
too. You know, and that was just an insane thing for Auburn that year.
Now I have a little bit of a hot take for the kick six. I want to see if you agree with me or not, because I've heard Alabama fans say, well, hell, they didn't even win the national championship. What the hell are they celebrating for? And I know that's the goal. Everybody should be trying to win the championship and all that, but who won the national championship in 1996? Who won the national championship in 2011? Like I could probably come up with that if I sit here and think about it. I, just like you said, I can remember exactly where I was sitting when I watched the kick six live. Like, I feel like I'm going to be on my deathbed and I'll be like, that was the greatest segment of football I've ever seen in my life. And it would have been better, of course, if they went on to win the national championship. But I would rather trade that moment, cursing Nick Saban, beating him, not letting him get his third. They would have won the third national championship in a row had they won that game. If I'm an Auburn fan, I'll take that over not winning the national championship. What's your thoughts?
Yeah.
Am I crazy? Is that a crazy
thing? No. I would say that Auburn fans, the fact that they spoiled Alabama's national title hopes, you know, that goes down as an all-time yeah. memory for them.
Yeah.
You know, I have friends who are Auburn fans who were grown men, like, rushing the field
yeah.
after that game, you know, just, like, to be a part of that experience.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it is an indelible moment in the state, in the history of the state of Alabama. And, you know, the Iron Bowl always brings about these flashpoints. Even this past year. Yeah, you had Cadillac Williams, and I got to be inside Auburn's locker room, you know, before the game at halftime and after the game, you know, to record the speeches that Cadillac gave the team. It was such an honor for me as a reporter, and you know, Cadillac Williams, really. God, he transformed the spirit at Auburn in such a short amount of time. It was such a beautiful thing to cover for me. And he was the first black head football coach to coach in the Iron Bowl in the rivalry's history. And he will always have that moment, regardless of what happens to his in his career now. And so, you know, that's another memory for the Iron Bowl, you know, that I'll definitely never forget. Especially as a reporter, but now they got Hugh Freeze.
Well, I was going to say, the good news is when Hugh has a scandal, Cadillac's going to be the head coach again. You know what? I kid. But how much spice does that add to it? Now that did Auburn? I mean, did they solely hire him because he's beaten Nick Saban twice?
Hugh Freeze, all things considered, is a great football coach.
Yeah,
that's why they hired him. You know, I think he's ultimately going to do well there. I don't know about this next season.
Yeah.
But they have they've certainly brought in some upgrades when it comes to the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
And I think the coaching staff, if you look at it, looks a lot better on paper, at least.
Yeah. But I'm really glad that they retained Cadillac and have promoted him and are now, he's essentially the face of their program at this point. And it's a pretty unique situation for an assistant coach in the SEC. Whether you think he should have been the head coach or not, his star is continuing to rise as a coach in college football. And it's a great thing they have going now. I think with Cadillac coaching the running backs and being such a visible coach for that team, because everything is different now with the way NIL collectives work. And so Cadillac really inspires people, raise a lot of money.
Yeah.
So you have to have that element in your program now in the SEC, the ability to like inspire people to open up their wallets so we can pay players.
Right, right.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
Let me ask you this, staying with the Iron Bowl, any idea what's Nick Saban going to complain about next? I mean, my God, he's got every advantage in the world. He's sitting here complaining left and right. The games are too long. We got deep substitute defense to keep up with Tennessee.
Get off my lawn, you kids, and your NIL collective money. Listen, Saban is a very smart person. Okay, anything he says, all right, publicly with a reporter, always, and I tell people this all the time, for Nick Saban, it always comes back to recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he does is geared towards that one singular thing. That's been his mission statement at Alabama since the first day he showed up, okay? It's going to be that way until he leaves. Everything that they do is geared towards bringing in the best players possible. And so you have to view everything he says, in my opinion, through that prism. And this is just the latest. It's all geared towards recruiting. No matter what he says, I think the fact that he complained about the fixed opponents, is a lot of fun for fans. But he kind of raised up some really good points, I thought. Is it fair that Alabama has to play Auburn, LSU and Tennessee, and Tennessee potentially gets to play Kentucky and Vanderbilt? Like, no, that's not fair.
Right.
I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't care for his bitching, given all the all the advantages they have. And I mean, at the end of the day, I see that point. But really, realistically, there's six other games. And it's going to even it out. You know what I mean? Tennessee may get Vanderbilt and Kentucky. But on the flip side, they're also getting Georgia, at Texas, at Oklahoma, LSU at home. I mean,
it's going to be tough for everybody.
Right, right. And apparently I've heard they're trying to even balance that out, given who you have to play annually and how that'll work with, one thing no one's really talking about with nine, there's five home games and four away, or vice versa. And so they got to balance that as well. So there is some trickery involved there. So I think they're going to factor that in as well to try to make it a more balanced schedule. But no, again, I mean, him and Kirby, I feel like, have nothing to bitch about, given all the resources and the talent. And you're dead on. They're the two best recruiters. That's why they have the two best teams.
Well,
they
out-talent
everybody.
These decisions are all about to be finalized leading up to the SEC spring meetings, So this is if you're going to bitch and complain, this is the time to do it, okay? Now, I really enjoyed Brian Kelly's reactionary comments, you know, to kind of like get the best of Nick Saban, because the Brian Kelly aspect of everything is new now, you know, because I mean, he came down here, he beat Nick Saban his first year. And so they asked Brian Kelly about what he thought about the nine game schedule. And he said, I came down here to play Alabama. Yeah. I want to play in Alabama every year.
Well, he's playing with house money, right? Because he won the West. He beat Nick Saban. I mean, he's the king of Louisiana right now.
Oh, yeah. He's... man, Brian Kelly, great coach. And it just goes to show you that if you're a great coach, it doesn't matter where you are, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, and he proved everything he had to prove in Notre Dame, except that he couldn't beat Alabama.
Right.
He figured out after enough tries at Notre Dame that if you're going to beat Nick Saban, then you got to have the kids.
Yep.
And so he went to a place where you could have the kids, and he did it. So, and now Nick Saban is complaining that he has to play LSU every year.
How pissed off do you think Nick Saban is that Georgia's won back-to-back? I mean, because I feel like if that man was even considering retirement, which I don't know if he was or not, but there have been reports he was contemplating it about a year ago. Fuck, I don't think he'll ever retire now that Kirby's got that thing rolling.
He can't. He's not going to coach forever.
He might. stem cells and whatnot, you know?
Yeah, well... You know, look at basketball. You've had some pretty prominent coaches retire in the past 2 years, you know.
But those guys all look old. I mean, Nick Saban looks like he's 45. You know what? He had a hip replacement. He was back to work the next week.
Oh, he was swinging clubs on the golf course. Hey, the guy is a miracle of science.
Right.
No, it's been an honor to cover Nick Saban, but... Yeah, I don't know, 3-4 years, maybe.
Mm.
Every year at this point with Nick Saban, I'm just like, people appreciate this, you know?
Right.
This is a very extraordinary time in the history of the SEC. And I guess, Nick, listen, 2024, everything is just going to change so drastically in college football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the big question is Nick Saban going to take Alabama into that new era, or is he going to call it quits at the beginning of this new era? You know, so, I mean, my guess would be he would take Alabama into this new era.
Yeah.
That's just the way he's kind of wired. A new challenge, 12-team playoff, 16-team SEC, new single division system. And hey, Nick Saban, the past couple days, he's been a whistleblower about the schedules.
Yep.
He's been a whistleblower about how he thinks players should be employees. He's great to cover, and he's great for the game. Make him the czar of football. I know we've been saying that for years now at this point, but yeah, make Nick Saban the czar. Probably the first thing he would do is take my press credential as czar of football. It's okay.
Honestly, I've been waiting for him to retire just to make the SEC have a little bit more parity, but now that Georgia's so awesome, I want him to stay as long as he wants. Because when you have Godzilla, you got to have King Kong too. You know what I mean? To battle.
Oh, I love that. Rampage reference. Yeah.
Exactly. But any parallels? Maybe I'm making too much of this, but I've used this before.
Who's Mothra?
Mothra. That Brian Kelly. Because he's lurking, you know? He's a threat at any time.
Well, there was also the Wolfman.
I don't remember the Wolfman. But I remember Mega Godzilla. It was like a metal one.
Okay, I'm talking about Rampage, the video game.
Oh,
the
right.
Arcade. Do you remember that?
Yeah, they have it here at Dave & Buster's.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. There was a wolf, there was King Kong, and there was Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
There was a giant, who's the giant wolf? Who's the giant werewolf?
Hugh Freeze. Can he be at Auburn?
he hasn't earned that right yet.
He killed it at Liberty. I don't
know. No, it can't, it's not.
Jimbo, maybe?
And plus, like, the whole Tiger Wolf thing, that's just not going to work.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't. Maybe Kirby Smart is the wolf. Or, because they're the dogs.
How about Ed Orgeron, where it was a full moon, everything came together, he was a werewolf, and then the rest of the time, he's just a simple man, you know?
Maybe Josh Heupel.
Yeah. He's too Bobby Hill for me. Everyone says Bobby Hill, and once I saw them together, Bobby Hill, Josh Heupel, it's hard to get that out of your head.
Yeah. That's always fun. Bobby Hill, you know.
But let me
listen, people want to pile on Heupel.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I mean, I'm the first one to admit, when he got hired, I was like, who the hell, what the hell?
Yeah.
He's done a great job.
Yeah.
Done an absolute great job.
And now the test case for NIL, perhaps, with their five-star quarterback, reportedly $8 million. I was having a conversation with someone else the other day in here. You know, if he's a complete bust, maybe that changes NIL a little bit. If he, you know, because Tennessee just doesn't have the roster of Georgia and Alabama. You can't beat them every time, but what if, you know, the stars collide, you got this elite quarterback, almost like a Marcus Mariota or a Cam Newton. You know, they were able to elevate those teams. If he wins a national championship, which at Tennessee, I mean, he's worth $80 million. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But has he earned it yet?
No.
I guess that's the big...
No,
that's
of course
the big
not.
You know, and I think that's what Saban is concerned about.
Right.
So, you know, some of these coaches giving all this money to players up front and the potential entitlement issues that creates. Like, that's what these coaches are concerned about, I think.
But isn't that easy for him to say, where if Tennessee did not give him that money, he's probably headed to Georgia or Alabama to be the quarterback. And you got to face him every year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm glad these kids are getting money, you know.
Yeah.
it's the Wild West right now. You know, and if this guy, like, really does well, I mean, if anyone does well, you know, it raises their value, and they could, now they can just transfer for free and get paid more money.
Right.
Which is good.
Which we've seen at A&M already. You know?
I don't know if it's great for the game or not.
Well, it wasn't good for the Aggies. They had to walk that fine line, and they failed, you know? It was a distraction. It was locker room issues, and not all of them, but many of those guys have since already left the program.
Yeah.
So
managing that is difficult for sure. And that's one part of the reason why I think that Saban wants just everyone to become employees. Because when you're an employee, there's a level of accountability that you have to meet.
Right.
If you're just given free money and you can just leave and go get more money, then you kind of, like, hold the keys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's...
Did you ever hear Mike Leach's proposal, rest in peace? I mean, that guy's kind of wacky. Again, I'm not saying anything bad about him. I love him to death. But he had a weird idea at last media days. He shared it with Feinbaum. Let the players decide. You want to be pros or amateur? If you're a pro, NIL completely open to you, but your scholarship's year to year. And then if you're not pro, your scholarship's guaranteed. I think he said even, and if you're not pro, I think he said something like, I can't remember, 30,000, 50,000, give those guys that annually or something like that. It was a pretty wacky idea, but there may be some merit to it.
Leach was a really smart guy.
Yeah.
I hate that he's gone. You know, that's a great idea. And a lot of... Listen, there are still a lot of kids that are playing football around the country that are going in debt to do it.
Right.
You know, we're talking about a different world in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not reality.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. I'm willing to hear anything at this point.
Yeah. The only thing I don't want to hear is the government will fix it. You know.
No, you're right. That's absolutely right, man.
That's what they all say, and that's asinine to even think. I mean, they can't get shit right. They're not going to give too much time to NIL, but
no, you're right, man. I mean, if you're waiting on the federal government to fix college football, they're going to screw it up even more. Okay.
Before you get out of here, I want to ask you this though: Texas and Oklahoma coming. I mean, you already referenced 2024. It's almost like I'll be jazzed for 2023, but it's I almost want to hit the fast forward button. What do you think that does to college football? What does that do to the SEC? Because I would argue it's probably bad for college football, but I think it's outstanding for the SEC adding those two programs. What's your thoughts?
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Part of me is like, oh, everyone is chasing the money, the greed. And then the other part of me on like this shoulder is like, but this is so cool. Oklahoma and Texas in the SEC. And then the other part is like, damn, that sucks for the Big 12.
Right.
And then this is like, oh, I get to go to Norman and Austin every year. Yeah. And then over here, I'm like, man, what's going to happen to college football? And I'm there like, over here, I'm like, I cover the SEC. The SEC is going to run everything. I mean, so shameless plug. I have this newsletter now. It's one of my new
things. I'm subscribed.
Yeah. And so every single week in the newsletter, I'm going to be discussing at least one element looking forward to 2024 because it's going to be such a seismic shift in college football. So every week in the newsletter, in addition to all the other things that I'm talking about, and then it gets pretty wacky there. You know, I'm going to be looking ahead to 2024 because it's such a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so subscribe. But yeah, like you said, man, I don't want to hit the fast forward button on 2023, but it's more than a weather eye looking ahead. You know, I'm already looking ahead to 2024 because you got to, you know?
Yeah. Well, hey, Joseph, I really appreciate you coming through here, man. I hope it was worth your long walk that it took to get here and everything. But yeah, I mean, and I hope you'll be at Media Days, I assume, right? You got to be there, right?
Of course. I'll be here in Nashville. Day.
Yeah. So well, hopefully we'll reconnect then.
Absolutely, man.
All right, man.
All right. Thanks a lot. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.